2CC Chris Coleman podcast.
Talking about your finances, your money, your wealth, and how to protect it all. And we're doing that with our good mate Luke Smith from Envision Financial. That's Envision with an E. Luke, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Chris.
6255 1206, the number. If you want to ring in between now and 5 o'clock, obviously the earlier the better because we can get a little bit more of a drill down on your circumstances. But 6255 1206, if you've got money questions, this bloke can help you out this afternoon. So give us a buzz. Today, Luke, I know you want to talk about income protection. And income protection, is this one of the least talked about but most incredibly useful financial products in the world?
This is the greatest form of insurance, I think, available to people of the public, and it is the most unutilised tool that people could have to, one, maximise deductions, and two, protect their planning. And I guess part of the planning process over previous weeks has been, what is super? How do we earn income? How do we maximise opportunities? How do we now protect the ability to achieve those outcomes is just as important as where we put our cash.
And I've actually had some dealings with income protection insurance in the recent past, not for me, but for my beloved. She had a case of Ross River fever, and I don't know if you know much about Ross River fever, but it will lay you flat on your back for months at a time. Now, she did all the right things, went through the sick leave and so on, and it started to eat into the annual leave, and so then it was tick, up comes the income protection. But tell us, from your perspective as a financial planner, a financial advisor, how should income protection work?
Well, it's the ability to protect up to 75% of your gross income and ensure that you have ongoing cash flow if something like Ross River or the strongest mosquitoes on earth come and bite you on the bum and, you know, you can't go in and perform your usual occupation on a 9-to-5 basis. So it is a really, really good way of making sure that that salary and wages that we live off and save from and pay kids' school fees and pop down to Woolworths with is able to be maintained, where unfortunately you can't go in and earn the money on an ongoing basis.
That's 75%. Is that a legislated maximum amount of cover?
That's correct. Generally speaking, you have 75% of base income and then you have the ability to add ongoing super contributions as an addition to that, so that if you are off on claim for an extended period of time, you can continue to build your superannuation retirement benefits as well as replace lost income.
What are your tax implications if you go off crook and you're on the income protection for 6 months? You're at 75% of your wage. Do you have to pay tax on that 75%?
Correct. That's exactly right. So income protection is the replacement of otherwise taxable income. So because you're going to pay tax on the benefit that you receive, the government very kindly says, well, whatever you pay to have that insurance is directly deductible against assessable income at a rate of approximately 100%. So you've really got two choices. Don't have cover, pay tax and get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or protect your income and reduce your taxable income and have a benefit at the end of the financial year.
Yeah, is it cheap?
Really depends
relatively
on occupation.
Speaking.
Yeah, look, for what you get and the value of it, when you think of what somebody would earn on $80,000 to $100,000 through to the age of 65, the total value of what you're protecting is generally in the millions of dollars. And when you can claim 100 cents in the dollar as a tax deduction, I think it represents fantastic value and for me is almost a must-have. Whether you're 19 or 50, everybody has spouses, bills, cars, rents, and all these outgoings that we see in the bank account regularly. Funding those without a salary gets very difficult very quickly when the average person doesn't have more than 30 days of accumulated savings.
No, that's true. That is only too true. What do you need to consider then when you're looking at this stuff? Because by the sounds of it, and I'm probably completely wrong here, but by the sounds of it, income protection sounds like it'll be income protection is income protection is income protection.
Correct.
That's what it sounds like. Is that the reality?
Well, I'd say exactly right, but in this instance, I can't. The key factors for income protection are obviously your occupation, because when you look at the likelihood or the potential chances of the inability to work, someone sitting in an office is potentially less risky than somebody abseiling down the outside of a building cleaning windows.
Mm-hmm.
So it's set on your occupation class, it's set on the waiting period that you select, and as the person being insured, you can determine when you'd like the money to be able to start to be paid, be it 30, 60 or 90 days. It depends on the duration of the payment and obviously your physical health and the condition that you're in, which is what you're offering to the insurance company to insure you for the next potentially 30 to 40 years.
Okay. 6255-1206, the open line number, if you've got questions about anything in the financial realm, but particularly today, income protection insurance, but anything in the financial arena, 6255-1206. We have our captive financial planner, Luke Smith from Envision Financial, in the Canberra Live studios this afternoon, ready to take your calls on 6255-1206. All right, so if I'm looking at income protection right now, what should I be looking for? You know, I sit, well, for another 90 minutes or so, I sit in a radio studio on a very comfortable chair that occasionally squeaks a little bit. I get out and, you know, do the odd chasing of a story and so on, but what should I be looking for?
Well, really, it's ensuring that you have the greatest ability to claim. There are two different ways. Generally speaking, income protection is held in your own name, or a lot of people generally hold it through superannuation. And you need to be aware that those two covers are, whilst they are both income protection, they are very, very different when it comes mm-hmm. to the number of benefits and the ways that you could be claiming. The other thing you need to think about is how you pay for the premium can have a direct relationship to what you can deduct for the premium. So if you earn $150,000 and let's say your average marginal tax rate is 39 cents in the dollar, you'd rather be claiming a tax deduction at 39 cents than holding it through your superannuation fund, having less ways to get paid or less benefits on the policy, and getting a deduction at 15%. Because at the end of the day, everybody loves a deduction and everybody's looking to try and strategically structure their taxes. We mm-hmm. won't use the word minimise. Yeah. So having policies, for me, in your own name first, and then only having it in superannuation if there is no other option in relation to being able to afford to protect your cash flow.
Okay. We'll talk some more about it in a second. We'll just let that sort of sink in a little bit. It is probably the most important, while you're alive, it's probably the most important insurance you can buy, income protection insurance. We'll talk some more about it with Luke Smith here on Canberra Live shortly. Luke from Envision Financial. I should mention, of course, that any advice we give during the course of this segment is general advice. And if you are after more specific information that is tailored to your circumstances, you should probably get in touch with an authorised representative of a financial services company. What's the number for the office?
6260-4749.
There we go. He's on fire this afternoon. It's amazing how many people I ask that and they go, oh, hang on, I don't know my own number. 6260-4749. I mean, you wouldn't be much of a financial planner if you didn't know much about numbers, would you?
Well, you know what? It's interesting you say that because we've had a number of people walk into the office without making an appointment because a couple of weeks ago I said, look, just pop in and sit down and Bob will make you a coffee.
That'll teach you.
Exactly right. So can I rephrase that to, we'd love you to pop in and sit down and have a coffee with Barb because she is a whiz on the milk. However, if you want to lock in a time and ensure I'm there, give us a call, 6260-4749, just to make sure I haven't popped out to see somebody else or I'm on my way back from somewhere else.
There we go. So we clarified that now. Something we've worked in, and I keep forgetting that we do this until too late, so I'm going to put it in now. Acronym of the week, because your business has probably more acronyms in it than just about anyone else. Today we are talking about a CPS. What is a CPS?
So a CPS generally stands for a converting preference share. And people say, well, what's a converting preference share?
Hey, Luke, yep. What's a converting preference share?
Lucky it's your last day. converting preference share is a debt instrument that's raised by institutions that offers a fixed margin over the cash rate. And what I mean by that is this. CBA, for example, or ANZ, or some of the larger banking institutions want to raise a couple of billion dollars for a project. They go to the market and say, we'll pay you 3% over the cash rate. And that margin is fixed for the duration. Now,
so if the cash rate goes up,
then you get the benefit of the rising cash rate, and you go 3% over a 2% cash rate, you're getting 5.
Yep.
If the cash rate goes from 2 to 3, you're now getting 6. So in the current environment where you've got really low returns from cash and fixed interest and other short-term vehicles, there's been a lot of interest and a lot of take-up in this sector. And I think given that it provides a fully franked dividend, it's also a number of tax-effective ways to build retirement income, build distributions, and also then help out on the tax side with pension accounts, because obviously they're tax-free vehicles.
Are they common?
Look, they have got a lot of traction over the last couple of years because of the low interest rate environment mm-hmm. that we've been in. We've used them for a number of years as part of our overall strategic planning, but they have got a lot of traction. Now, I must preface, they are not the vehicle they were 5, 6, 7 years ago, because obviously the issuers like CBA and ANZ and NAB continue to tweak the back end of them, or the characteristics of them. So they're not without risk, but like most things in life, the more you get, the more you risk, the more you need to understand if it's right for you. So they're a very good vehicle used in the right way, and they will underpin and provide a regular quarterly, semi-annual or annual distribution that will be significantly higher than cash.
Oh, yeah. So ask your financial advisor about a CPS if you're looking for a different form of investment. 449. Let's get back to talking about income protection and income protection insurance. Workers' comp, income protection. What's the difference?
Huge difference in relation to the definition. So income protection will cover you worldwide, regardless of what you're doing, where you're doing it, and for the duration that you are doing it for. For example, I leave the radio station, I fall down the stairs, I break my leg. I can then potentially have a lump sum payment for my income protection.
Mm-hmm.
Workers' compensation on the weekend may or may not apply because it's not directly work-related. So it is a much broader definition and a much more secure way of ensuring that you have the greatest value or the greatest proportion of your gross income available to you if you can't go and work, because not everything happens between 9 and 5, and workers' compensation have a number of very specific rules and regulations that you need to adhere to.
There are some workers' comp now that don't cover you on travel to and from work, and there are some that do cover you on travel to and from work.
Correct. Same with lunchtime. You go out to the gym, get your grapevine on, fall off the step, do yourself a mischief, you may or may not be covered. Income protection, doesn't matter when, doesn't matter how, 2 in the morning after too many coronas, it's still there to be claimed on, because it's always your ability to perform your usual occupation. And when a doctor says you can't go back, you want to know that you're going to get paid for as long as possible.
There we go. Now, we mentioned a few minutes ago about how some super policies or some super funds offer cover, and that's fraught with tax implications and may not necessarily be your best option. We spoke last week about the big public service super scheme. So there's the CSS, the old CSS,
correct.
Then there's the more recent but still old PSS, then there's the current PSS AP super scheme.
Correct.
Income protection on those?
Nothing through CSS and PSS, because they're defined benefit schemes. That's one big misapprehension out there, that people say, oh, it's okay, I'm with the government, they'll look after me. I'm pretty sure the government won't pay you your wages to age 65.
I'm with the government, they'll look after me. Sorry, when was that ever actually a philosophy?
Exactly.
About 1974,
right.
I'd reckon.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And PSSAP does offer cover in a limited capacity when compared to a policy that you could hold in your own name. So it's very important to not just say, it's okay, I've got it in my super fund. Actually check and see what's available, because mm-hmm. there are a number of ways that you could be paid on a personal contract that are not available at all through a superannuation policy, because of the overarching legislation of the superannuation industry and the rules that you need to meet to be able to access money.
There we go. So important. And again, ask advice. Ask for advice about this stuff, because while it's simple, it's something that not everyone has given as much thought to as they should, and yeah, you might want to just check it all out. Now, finally, and this is something we were talking about off-air, and you were talking about a strategy that you use for your clients to help protect their retirement plans. And I know a lot of people who listen to 2CC are getting towards really actively thinking about retirement and so on. So let's actually sort of tie this all together.
Yeah,
importance
sure.
of cover, protecting your retirement plans and so on.
Yeah, so we have had a lot of success and a number of claims over the last couple of years where, as part of our retirement strategy, we've gone to existing clients and said, look, how many kids do you have? And they say, oh, we've got 3 kids and they do this, this and this, and they've all got a house and they've all got a mortgage and they've all got kids. And at the end of the day, a lot of the younger generation, sub sort of 30, 35, always say when they come in and see someone like me, it's okay, mum and dad will take care of it. And that bank of mum and dad, whilst it may be the fifth or sixth largest lender in the country, you don't want it to impact the cash flow that you get from your super. So what we've done in the past is say, look, mum and dad, pay for the policy for Billy and Kate, because Billy and Kate may be 27 to 35, still think they're bulletproof, not realise that anything could happen, but they may or may not have a $500,000 mortgage, which is pretty normal in the current environment.
So invest in some backing for the bank of mum and dad.
Exactly right. So if you pay the premium for the children benefit from the tax deduction, and for a couple of thousand dollars, you then limit losing $25,000 to $30,000, which would be the annual payment of interest on a $450,000 to $500,000 mortgage. So by insuring the kids, you're then directly insuring that your ability to continue accessing your super that you've worked so many years to build up and be able to then live the lifestyle you want to live. you've prevented them from being able to dip into the savings that you may or may not be able to add back to because you've ceased work, you can't make super contributions, and you're no longer in the industry you were in before.
This sounds to me like something you've actually seen transpire on more than one occasion.
Many, many times. This income protection for me is... I remember being a young kid and my father said to me when I got my licence, I'm not worried about you, I'm worried about everybody else that's out there. And people that are retiring and people that have debts and expenses need to think about, okay, these things do happen. And if we're honest, we all know somebody that's been touched by cancer. It is very prevalent in the community, yep. And it is something that we can insure against and protect because it is becoming more and more common. And having time off work and looking at your bank statements and seeing, well, hang on, what does it actually cost to live? It actually costs a lot more than a lot of people think. Budgeting is quite scary, and making sure that you can fund kids' school fees and those sorts of things and get a tax deduction. I can't stress enough. If you can protect your ability to earn and live against pay tax and effectively get nothing, I think that's a lay down misery.
We've got to wrap up, Luke, but that tax deduction point you make there, there's one other thing that I just thought as well. We keep hearing about people who are suffering from bracket creep, i.e., and we haven't had a lot of that because mm-hmm. wage growth hasn't been great, but if your Correct. Wage goes up by that 2 or 3% and it ticks you over that next bracket, this is one way to actually keep yourself in that lower bracket and pay a lot less tax.
Exactly right. I give a lot of people that come into the office a choice. Do you want to pay tax at 49? Do you want to pay tax at 15? And I've never told me that, and you know, no one's ever said to me, I'd love to pay tax at 49. Please help me get an outcome to secure myself and my family.
At the maximum rate.
And get me the deduction. Yeah. So,
good stuff. Luke, always good to have you, mate. Thank
Pleasure.
You very much. And thanks for being
Thank
part
you.
Of the show. I know
Listen,
you'll continue here on Canberra Live.
I will. We'll have it won't be the same without you.
Oh, mate, it'll be good. It'll be fine. You'll have Rod Henshaw in a couple of weeks' time. He'll take care of you, I'm sure.
Beautiful. Thanks, Chris.